Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is another episode of Dadcast. As always, I am JP. He is Nick Martin. How are you, bud?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, man. We are back at the hall in Grants Pass doing another episode here in this crazy awesome kick-ass establishment. Thank you for the hall, or thank you to the hall for providing us these facilities. We appreciate it so much.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, buddy. I'm going to turn you up a little bit.
Dude, I'm so stoked for this episode, too. I haven't seen Mo, and it's been years.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
It has been a long time. Let's introduce our guest today. On the show, longtime friends, and, I mean, I've known one of these guys for a long time. In fact, you'll see on the camera here shortly, he brought in his son. I remember when he was just a wee little gay, and I might have even held you when you were a baby, dude. I'm just saying, it's very possible. Welcome to the show, Mo Provolt and his son Mason. How are you, bud? Good to see you, man.
What up?
Yeah, what up?
What up?
How are things?
Things are pretty good.
Yeah?
We're having a good time.
It's a man of many words, as always.
I love talking.
This one's going to be short and sweet, party people.
And we're done.
And yeah, thanks for watching Dadcast. Have a great rest of your day. See ya. We'll catch you all next week. Joining us also is our man, our friend, our buddy. He's over here. His name is Fred Poole. How are you, bud?
I'm doing good. Excited to be on my first podcast.
This is your very... We're popping your cherry?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, welcome to the world of podcasts, man. No pressure. We're just hanging out, chit-chatting. So for those of you who are not aware, Dadcast, the premise of the show is two dads, Nick and I, talk to other dads, typically celebrity dads. So in this case today, you guys are celebrities. Fantastic.
Thank you.
At least here locally. That is for damn sure. About being dads, the path, the adventure, and everything that, you know, comes with being a father. With that being said, Fred Poole, are you a dad?
I am a dad.
Yeah?
A couple of daughters. Yeah.
How old are they?
Young adults, 20, 22.
Okay.
Yeah. Out of the house.
Wow. Woo-hoo. So we have questions for you regarding that.
We can find out when it gets normal again.
Yeah. Is everything normal? Did you have some issues? I mean, we're talking like 13 to, you know, still going through 18, yeah. One of my daughters.
Yeah.
Very difficult, very, very, basically they hate us. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. Yeah. Did you go through that?
Yeah, enough of that. I mean, to say that I experienced it, I had kind of a unique experience. They lost their mom. You know, it was very sad. She died in 2019.
Okay.
And so it was, as far as a dad, it
right.
was a very interesting time. And so I didn't get to see how that tapers off in the normal way, you know. And so there was a lot of responsibility heaped on me, I felt, you know. But, yeah, the normal friction, you know, plus the... forces of independence, you know, wanting to get out.
Right. The force of independence. That is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. It's like a gravitational force. And
they gravitate back when they need the ATM.
Yeah. Yeah. That phase has a long arm, you know. But I feel like at this point they're actually pretty independent. And, you know, as far as the exit, their little pod exiting my spacecraft,
right.
I feel like mission accomplished, kind of.
I understand that. I mean, I'm still very far away from that being a reality in my life. You met him. My son is off camera. He's right over there. He's 12. He's going to be 13 in a few months. My oldest stepdaughter, she's 18. And my baby girl is going to be 10 in a month, almost from the day. 10!
Wow.
My little. Isn't Mo? How old's your little now?
She's 13.
Oh my God!
I definitely held her.
I'm just right on starting. It.
Yeah.
Snort.
The snort. Yes.
Yes.
Oh man.
She will definitely appreciate that you called her that online.
Well, that's awesome. So I'm guessing that's sarcasm.
This will be the clip right here. That's gonna go.
She used to love it, and she only has you to blame, man.
She does, but she doesn't typically tolerate other people calling her that, right, son?
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk. Mason.
There you go, buddy.
First of all, grab that mic. Mason, what encouraged you to, did dad make you come on this podcast today? Did you want to? Did you not have a choice? What is going on?
I was just told we're doing a podcast, so I was like, heck yeah.
All right. Cool. Nice. All right. And you guys, by the way, are all members of a band, yes?
Yeah.
Called Two Piece Face. And if you guys can check out their shirts. They're pretty awesome, man. It's like the intro screamed to Nintendo games. I love it. And Mo did bring me a shirt, but he didn't bring an extra large fat guy. So
I know.
It's not working out for me today, man.
Me either.
That fat guy attack strikes again.
It does. So tell us, actually, Mo, I want to ask you. These are questions that, gosh, when we first met, when you were back in your band in the dry season days, that I never thought I would ever ask you. But here we are. So I'm going to ask them. 17 and a half years ago, give or take, you were, it was a day, right? And you were let know somehow, some way that you, in fact, were going to become a dad.
Right.
Can you recall that day, the emotions, what happened?
Well, I was pretty apprehensive about it because we lost one prior to him. So I was honestly scared to death of it. And it was really hard for me to get excited about it because I didn't want a repeat of the first one. So I pretty much held the cards pretty close to my chest. I didn't let myself get happy or excited about it until
right.
the day he was out. And then it was on.
Is this uncomfortable for you, Mason, talking about that?
Let's talk about how you were conceived, son.
Yes.
Oh, let's go.
How that I've never actually... That is a question, Nick, that I've hesitated, and I've wanted to ask so many guests.
Well, there's like it's so cool.
Like, I wanted to ask Randy Couture, can you recall the night you conceived?
Well, see,
and tell us about that. But
then you got like my story where I conceived my kids in a little doctor's office.
Well, you're test tube babies, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like baby batter doctor did a pretty good job. My kids are kind of cute.
Did you pay extra for that?
I did. I
was lots like, extra, yeah, dude.
Like, can you find
all
some
that dad cast yeah. royalty?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That Joe Rogan money we haven't seen yet. I'm like, can you find someone that's blonde, blue eyes? It's, maybe could be successful in life.
And son, if you have any questions about what we're talking about, you can ask me on the way home. Okay.
The stork brings the babies.
Be a fun car ride.
So yeah. Anyway, Mason, it's about to get really uncomfortable. Remember when he was born?
Remember
that day
prior to that?
Were you in the room? How did the birth go with this guy?
Yeah, I was there. I stood there like a statue, like I was supposed to. I made the mistake of telling my wife, like, hey, if you if it hurts that bad, you need to bite down on something, just let me know, and I'll throw you the arm.
Right.
And we didn't coordinate this very well, and so the bite did happen, but it happened
right here. He has a robotic nipple now, by the way.
I do.
Interesting.
It's a prosthetic, and I wasn't super stoked about that. She clamped down pretty good for a second, and I acted like it didn't hurt. But, he came out. Not too many issues, which that was a blessing. I got to cut the cord and all that. And, she'll tell the story about how easy the childbirthing was to make other females hate her and be jealous. Sorry, that's, just one of those things. But,
All right. And what about...
I didn't pass out.
How'd it go with a snort?
Snort was basically the same story. I mean, it was an easy one. We didn't have issues.
Right.
And,
What about you, Fred? How was your birthing experience?
I was just reflecting on that because you guys talking about it, and I was just wanting to ask Mo if wasn't the umbilical cord rather tough, like tougher than you thought, right?
Yeah, I had to take a couple saws at it. I was expecting less resistance.
They gave me like these like high power graded ones. It was easy for me.
I got an X-Acto knife from the dollar store is what they gave me.
I asked my mother-in-law to do it. I was
you didn't want to pass out?
No, I didn't. I didn't know. The doctor tricked me to look when the baby was popping out, so I already saw enough grossness.
Well, you didn't cut the umbilical cord?
No, dude, I can't.
You won't take rides in Cobras. You won't cut your kids' umbilical cords. I'm starting to think, such a large man, you're very afraid of many things.
I am, dude. Blood, like Liam last night,
yeah.
He freaking like ate shit hard. And like I was like, babe, you need to handle this. I'm going to hold the baby.
Right, fair enough.
Yeah, so she's handling bruises, screaming kid, bone popping out his arm.
He broke his arm.
No, it looked like it. It really looked like it. The bone, like his arm was sticking out like that far.
Okay.
We're like, we got to go to the hospital.
There actually wasn't a bone, though. It was just a good knot.
No, it was a good knot.
Okay.
Yeah. I was
then why would you say a bone is sticking out of your son's arm?
That's the impression I got, too.
Right?
If you saw this, you'd be like, let's go to the hospital right now because it looks like his bone is sticking out of his arm.
Okay.
It was pretty gnarly.
All right.
And then I almost puked. I was like, nope, I can't handle it. Nope. Yeah.
That's my co-host, y'all. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you asked me about how the experience went and
yes.
the umbilical cord.
Sorry, Fred.
Really, I'm just trying to get back on task.
Yes.
The umbilical cord was really tough, and for me, it was I needed like some serrated scissors or something.
Okay.
It was sliding out, and Anyways, I successfully did that. But for me, I think the most memorable part of, especially the first birth, was that, you know, you go through all that experience with the preparing the Lamaze and all that training and stuff, and you think that you're going to be this coach and stuff. And for me, my wife, she was so, like, into the zone. She and I really spent more time than probably some people thinking about what was going on. But I think what was happening for her was that she was so in tune with the breathing that was helping her. And I used to run a lot, and mm-hmm. you get side aches. And what I learned is that if you inhale and kind of hold it for a second, it elongates the muscle and makes it relax. So I think that's what that breathing, I'm not an expert, you know, I don't know what goes on for sure inside that mystery body of the woman. But to me, it seemed like every time I came to ask her if she wanted help or anything, coaching, cheering on, she would go, no, go away, you know. And little by little, I realized that I was distracting her, and it would hurt because she'd lose her concentration. She was counting breaths.
Right.
And it's like she was memorizing when the cramp was coming by the number of breaths. So she was totally in the zone, and I was bored. And I kept going out there and feeling like, you know, not important in this operation. And so after a while, I realized that, yeah, I just stay over here. Don't bother her. It's taking her out of the zone. And so I decided to start writing a book that I had always been wanting to write, a book about guitar. And it's actually available now on Amazon.
Look at this guy. All right.
Nice plug.
What is the name of the book, and where can they find it? Amazon?
Yep, it's on Amazon. Right now it's an ebook, and it's soon to be, I just got the proof, to be printed. They print it on demand. It's actually pretty cool that way because I don't have to fork out a bunch of money.
Inspired during the birth of your child.
Yeah, it's something that had been floating around my way of looking at the instrument. And it actually, strangely enough, has helped me learn how to play other instruments. So it's not just guitar, but it's called the Rosetta Stone of guitar. And I wrote it right here at Asante, you know, started writing it right then and finished it later. But so that's
impressive.
That's how I spent my time.
That's a great story. Mo, follow that.
Okay, so my book is about, I don't have a book.
So what instruments do you play then?
Well, my main instrument is guitar, but
which she doesn't play in our band, so that works out.
Yeah, I just go where the needs are. But I of course, play bass. It's not my main instrument, but I definitely appreciate, and I would like to get. I mean, I'm just kind of greedy. I want to be good at everything. But I also play piano, cello, xylophone, even some. I can fake. A lot of this is degrees of faking it, you know.
Right.
Because
that's all a musician is.
Yeah, I mean, truly. And even on the guitar, I mean, if you've done any recording of instruments, you cherry pick, you know. And I don't care if I have to do it 50 times; I'll finally get what I want within reason. And so with other instruments that I'm weaker on, like even the saxophone, I've done some, you know, succeeded in getting some runs that were decent. It's just finding that phrase, and you know, it's less work if you're actually good at it. You know?
Right.
Because I played drums too, and it used to be a real struggle to get what I needed for a song, and I'd have to get up and stop and discard it and try again. And little by little, I got to where I could not only do longer stretches of successful, you know, tracks, but also I learned some editing tricks, like how to nudge. If I just got off a little ahead of the beat in this one section, I can scoot it over, and then I don't have to do the whole thing over.
There you go. Ah, modern technology at its finest.
Cheating.
We were talking about editing off the air, so it's like I know exactly what you're talking about right there. Makes it fun. Not cheating. You use it to your advantage, Mo. So tell us about two-piece face, Mo Provol.
Okay.
What's the deal? How did it become together? And go.
So this is kind of my whatever comes out of me musically is what these guys are stuck playing along with. After dry season, I needed time off. You know, I got a lot of offers. Hey, come play with us. Hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do that. And it's like, no, I just need some time. But that time period just kept going and going and going. And I just stayed out of it. And I ended up leaving my job of 15 years just because I was burnt out and I was tired and I was depressed. And it was just like, I got to get out of here and just kind of have a hard reset. So I started writing songs again. And I didn't have the dry season guys. It was just me now. But, you know, we were all pretty collective with it. So these songs are just kind of the product of me. And over the years, I've just been plugging away at it. And then, you know, he's been drumming since he was born. So he's obviously...
The modern day Partridge Family happening here.
He's forced to play along even if he doesn't want to because I'm his dad. So, you know.
What type of music? What genre would you classify two-piece
well,
face?
I listened to it, and it was boy band.
Dude,
it was like NSYNC.
We're going for
like,
a boy band pop sound for sure, because that's what I am passionate about.
I was like, wow, dude, this is really, really cool. Like a total, complete 180 from...
Walk the walk, talk the talk.
Mo, I can shut his mic off. Just say the word.
I support that.
Okay.
No, I don't even know what to call it. That's like the worst question in the world to ask. Though? It's like... Well, we're kind of something like these guys in this, and then you take this out.
I didn't ask who you sounded like. I said, what would you classify your genre? Are you rock?
It's rock, and then he throws in blast beats and double kick whenever he can because he's an angsty teenager.
Fair enough.
And, you know, we try to have catchy hooks and, you know, just some aggression and distorted guitars. So, I mean,
we
also have the synthesizer, too, so we're just having fun with it and...
I love that, man. The fact that your son's playing, I mean, that's what this is Dadcast is all about, you know, I'm trying to do more with this kid over here, but I've been working so much lately, and I can tell you right here because I got the cameras rolling and I'm pointing at you and I'm looking at you, son. I want to do more. I'm sorry I have to work so much. You'll understand when you're older, but trust me, this summer is going to be amazing and kick-ass because I'm working so much. All right, I hope you understand. The fact that you two get to do this together, I mean, that's amazing, man. That's great. Mason. Seriously, as an angsty 17-year-old teenager, I'd like your thoughts of playing in a band with your dad. What is it like from your eyes and your perspective?
Well, I just think it's really nice to prepare for doing stuff in the future because, I mean...
Okay, I'm going to stop. This isn't a high school a job interview, man.
Well, I know. But...
You just think it's really nice that it's... Come on, man.
Is it badass to be at a show playing drums? Your dad's up there just doing his thing, and you got these moments with your dad. I think that's more like what we're going for.
It's really cool, especially when we interact on stage. That's one of my favorite things.
Nice.
It's just like you just feel this really deep connection through music.
And keep it up. And I hope you guys are successful with this for a long time. The reason I asked that, I set you up. You are now officially the second child of a guest that we've had on. And the first guest we had on were a couple of guys named Vinny. And if you look them up after the show, they are in a band, members of the Bronx Wanderers, who have a show in Las Vegas, who have been doing it for years and years and years, one of the most successful shows in Las Vegas. I mean, this guy, Vinny, the dad, he's been everywhere. He's a record producer. He's worked with every big name you could possibly imagine. And we thought we were interviewing just him, his son. And then he pops on, and Vinny, his dad, pops on, and was the first episode. It was impromptu. It was both. And the dynamic of having both father and son on the show at the same time was really, really cool. Now, granted, they were much older. He was, you know, in his 30s. Dad's in his 60s. But they've been doing it now for many, many, many years and very successful at it. And seeing that bond between father and son doing it, it's amazing, and it's cool to see that you guys do it, too. Like I said, I've known your dad for a long time, man, and it's really cool that you guys get to do this together, man. I mean, I can only imagine. I wish I played an instrument. I wish he played an instrument. What are we going to do together when you're older, dude, kid? Are we going to just fight? Are we going to UFC? Are we going to play video games? Tell me later. Or you can scream it loud right now, boy. Nope, he's got nothing. He's being shy, but good on you too. That is absolutely amazing. Now, the tough questions, Mo.
Have we had the talk?
Tell us what you know about sex, Mason. No. Are you...
Just say no to groupies after a show.
No.
I mean...
What are you talking about?
Listen
to your father.
I caught him looking at a very attractive girl in a very attractive dress.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is... this is part of it, son. And he looked very uncomfortable, kind of like he does right now. It's all right. You get used to it.
Yeah, but you know what? You switch all of us with his high school buddies, and I guarantee it's a difference. It's a different look.
Right.
He'd be a lot more comfortable. Like this guy over here, I caught him saying the F word on playing online with his buddies. And that was a couple years. He's shaking his head. He's still lying to me. I heard it, man. But it's okay. It's fun. Oh, hey, Fred Poole. He's still over there.
Yeah, I'm still over here.
Man, sorry. We got all into the Mo and the Mason.
No, that's fine.
So how did you come about here on this, in this adventure of Two-Piece Face? Actually, I'll ask you this question, that one, and what is Two-Piece Face? Who came up with that name?
That'd be Mo. I didn't have a clue where the name Two-Piece Face came from, so I'll leave that question for him. I know it has something to do with the mill.
Yes, it does. It's very exciting.
Okay.
But how I got involved, I've known Mo, gosh, how many years?
I kind of lost track.
Yeah.
Was it mid-2000s?
Vineyard Church.
Yeah, going to church together.
Yeah, and doing music, you know, worship on the stage there.
Right.
I didn't know him very well, but I got to know him musically, kind of like Mason was talking about how there's a connection. That existed before I knew him personally. And for me anyways, and I'm sure a lot of musicians would agree, there's... you know, you get to know somebody musically, and there's some people who they aren't afraid to go balls out, you know. And I liked that about Mo. So anytime we ended up on stage, I felt like I had, because I like to look at myself that way. I'm not afraid, you know.
Right.
I mean, I'm trying to, it's interesting at church because you're trying to, it's like serving food or something. And if it gets too spicy, some people don't want it. But he also has a flair for the spicy.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. He's got kind of a metal edge to his sound.
I just think it's strange that you were in one sentence able to talk about church and balls out in the same sentence.
Yeah.
That's great. And speaking of balls out, isn't that usually Cake, not you?
That's not my department.
Exactly. That's Jason Cake. Sorry, my Fred Poole. Carry on.
Yeah. Well, so for me, I mean, musically, I've kind of chased the music dream my whole life, you know. Clear back to high school and like middle school, even like junior high, they called it back then. But
yeah, I know. I think we're in the same genre here. How old are you?
51.
51. So yeah,
about a week.
I was a freshman, you were your senior. So yeah. We're bred from the same cloth right there.
Cool. So anyways, I found myself involved in church music, worship, and it's a different venue for sure. But anyways, you know, it's interesting because it puts you in a situation where you're improvising a lot, you know, because I don't know, just the rate that songs come at you if you're involved in that genre, there's no way to be prepared. And so that's one thing I really liked about it and still do. And Mo obviously could jump in there and hang, you know, with the best of them. And I found myself being used by his band and my band, you know, just interacting, kind of cross-pollinating. And we just more and more often found ourselves working together that way. And so there was that musical connection. And I found myself actually in some of the most intense moments, like where you're going, you know, you're leading worship, but it's like, oh my God, this sounds like it could be played on any stage or arena, you know
right.
what I mean? A moment like that. And so, anyways, you know, you have multiple experiences like that, and you just bond over it. And so, fast forward, he approached me about playing guitar, actually, right? And he came over.
I don't have my own book, so I'm like, well, I know a guy that wrote a book about guitar. I'll hit him.
Right? Yeah.
And so, you know, at first, I'm like, well, I'm not going to say no to any project, you know. I don't have my hands quite full yet, you know. I'm not having to say no. So I figure it'll be fun. It'll be different because it's more like hard rock / metal. And I started trying to learn.
See, he classified a genre.
I know.
Problem.
You did it way easier than me.
Well,
I'm too attached, apparently.
Yeah. It's too personal for you. I'm kind of riding along.
It's like two pieces in my face. And, yeah.
So I think there was a couple of I had a couple of practice sessions with him.
Sorry, it's the
crickets.
Phone went.
Is that crickets?
I was trying to hit a different one. It'll stop in a second. It should.
Is that the one that doesn't stop though?
I was trying to do this. Nope. 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 That one.
There we go.
There it is.
All right.
Sorry. I keep interrupting Fred.
That's
but
fine.
That's the beautiful thing about a podcast. It is, you know.
I teach middle school.
Remember when I set off the rails?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's fine. So, we had like a couple of sessions where I was trying to learn his habits because they're his songs.
Right.
And and in between, I thought about the kind of homework that was for me. And I thought, you know, if I play bass... So switch roles with Mo. We could be ready to do a show like in a week or two instead of months, you know.
Right.
Because there's all kinds of nuances, you know, to anybody's style. And if I'm going to be playing the guitar, he's going to want, I do it like this. There's a little mute right there. And it's like, you know what? You know all your habits. Why don't you do it? And I don't know what his feelings are about this, but I'm going to ponder it out loud here.
Uh-oh.
That I feel like he may not have known that he could do it, because playing and singing, it's a handful, you know?
You answered my next question.
And then, you know, either way, though, you'd be playing the bass and singing, so it'd still be challenging. Maybe, in my opinion, even more challenging. The guitar, for me, is easier than to play bass and sing.
Right.
But either way, I just want to publicly, share that I really respect what he does. And I was telling him last time we were practicing, because some of the syncopations that he pulls off, you know, they're no joke. Yeah, if you play an instrument and sing at the same time, you know what I mean. It's not all a piece of cake.
Oh, of course not. I mean, I couldn't even imagine, man. I'm coordinated, but not like that.
Yeah.
Well done. Look, you're getting the props here.
I know.
I think it was this one. No, it's where is the?
Hey.
Nope. I'm just gonna stop trying to hit the buttons. I should probably label these, you guys. There it is. It did. But it got lost in
just
the move.
Push them all at the same time and see what that does.
I have a brand new one in the box for you.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Push them all at the same time? Yeah. No. I like the fact that Fred was complimenting you and telling you how amazing
and
you
making
are.
Making me feel really uncomfortable.
Is it just three of you in the band? Is it just you three?
It's three pieces of two-piece face.
This is getting confusing.
So, you know, that really puts him even more in the front as a front man.
Yeah.
You know, to play the guitar, that's more front man than bass. And to sing, so... Anyways,
and how long has the band been together?
I've been enjoying watching him just do that role, you know?
We've done two shows.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to book when you have a 17-year-old
right.
in the band. And
you can only play bars.
We can only not play bars.
Only
we can
not.
Only play
right.
all-age venues, so that's been the big speed bump for us.
When are you 18, Mason?
Do you have to be 21 now to play bars, or is it 18?
I'm just curious when he turns 18.
Yeah, he'll be 18 next year.
All right. Got your license? No?
All right. He's scared of it, just like all the other kids his age.
Scared of driving? God, man, when I was 16, I couldn't. I mean, that was like literally my only goal in life.
They all have anxiety and stuff about it now. I don't get it.
Oh, we could probably spend another hour talking about that, but we don't need to go there.
Yeah.
That's just today's world, apparently. By the way, y'all, I'm sorry if you notice me keep looking down here.
Football.
We are recording this episode on draft day, and literally the draft is happening as we are doing the show.
Heard
so
the conversation he had with me about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Night. I yelled at him.
He did.
But don't worry. The Raiders are picking next, and then I'll be done. Because that's all I really care about, to be perfectly honest. Gentlemen, I had a question. I had a really good question.
So I know you wanted to know what the band name means.
Yes.
And it makes sense in my head, but
when
it gets out into the atmosphere, it gets confusing, since there's three dudes in a band called Two Piece Face. So everybody's like, but there's three of you. It's like, yeah, because... Never mind. It is what it is. So I make plywood for a living. I've made plywood. I'm still doing it.
Okay, all right.
I'm at a different plywood facility because more than one place in the world
makes
can
plywood.
Make plywood.
It's, right, right.
It's a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Crazy.
I like this place a lot better than the last place. But anyways, a piece of plywood has a face, a core line, a center, and a back. And it has glue. So sometimes you use a full-on 8-foot sheet, and then other times you use two pieces. So you can have a two-piece face, you can have a two-piece center, you can have a two-piece back. So that's not really exciting from a band perspective.
Right.
And it's also confusing, which I didn't think that through, but the name's not taken.
There you
so,
go.
So right. Nobody else has this name, and that's half the battle in naming a band anymore.
Were there any bands out there called Lumber?
I didn't look for that.
How about Wood?
See, Lumber is not plywood.
Okay.
It's a different thing.
All right.
I don't really want to have to...
Is plywood taken?
We need to have a whole other podcast and talk about...
Yeah, we could just talk about plywood.
Plywood taken?
Plywood was not taken.
Because, I mean, I'm just throwing it out there, you know. That'll be the name of the album.
Two-piece face made, man.
In their brand-new album, yeah. Plywood.
We already got the shirts, so we can go
Yeah, I get it. Merch has been done. You're committed.
I made an Instagram this week.
You did? Wow,
that's how
Mo.
Far behind I am.
I just followed you.
If we could go back to MySpace, I would do that in a heartbeat because
You and Tom.
Yeah, he was my friend, and it took me 2 hours to make an Instagram. It wanted this, it wanted that, it wanted this, and then I didn't know if I did it right. And he's
the two-thing verification.
Yeah,
it's weird.
And
it's
getting text messages from it, and I'm like, okay, I got to type this in, and that's not my jam.
You're not Tom.
Yeah, he wasn't Tom.
No.
How many years did you take off from dry season to the beginning of this new venture, give or take?
I want to say dry season kind of ended around, was it 13 or 14 maybe?
Right. Well, the last version of it. Yeah,
we tried... We tried without Jesse, and it just didn't work at all.
Right. You valiantly tried, and it was pretty good, but, you know, okay. So we're talking close to 10 years then.
Yeah.
How is it different now?
Being in this band?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, the landscape of how things work isn't the same. Like, so much of this stuff is online. You've got to have all this, you know, all these pages and all this social media and all, you do your own marketing and it's not like you just get a show and hand out flyers and people show up. It's a different beast. Everybody's using like modeling amps and computers and backing tracks. I know a guy, he's starting a band and he's like, yeah, we don't have a bass player, so we just have a backing track, so we don't need one. So they don't need a bass. So you don't have all
until
those.
It's time to live perform.
Well,
then you find
no,
them.
Dude. They're three
really?
Doors down. Yeah. So Three Doors Down plays a Brit. There was all backing tracks. Mm-hmm. Their guitars weren't plugged in. The mic wasn't plugged in.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I was like, what?
But I don't. That doesn't feel real to me, man.
It's not.
Yeah. So I get made fun of sometimes because I'm still using a tube amp. You know, and I don't have an Axe FX and all this computer stuff. I just even if I bought that stuff, I don't think I would. Set it up right. I wouldn't take the time to learn it because I'm old.
How do you feel about that, Fred? About this conversation that's happening right now?
Oh, I'm kind of an organic person. I do like technology, but you know, when it comes to playing live, get all that involved, and so many things can start going wrong. You know,
I just you know, you give me a guitar, a bass, a drummer, and a singer, and that's it. Plugged into a tube amp.
Yep.
All right, hallelujah, here we go. That's how it should be. And, you know, no knocking the technology. Now, but since you've got your son sitting here, is he into that? Does he know that side of the bands and everything that you're talking about?
Talk, child.
Not really.
What about the social media? You're definitely up on that game, right?
Well, I can help. Okay. I'm not a super big social media person, but I record stuff just on my phone and then post it.
Right.
People watch it, you know. That's all that I need.
There you go. That's how it works.
As for me, if you would allow me to chime in, I'm actually
the conscious ears.
Not allowed.
Pretty involved in technology, I think, because I produce my own music. This is my card. I actually have my own band, which is partly why I was okay with taking on the role of bass, because if I didn't have my own music, I would have been extremely tempted to serve in the guitar role.
Right.
You know? So
you keep talking. I got to check something real quick.
And, you know, Mo has an appreciation for the synth sound, which I actually found out about the synth sound because of Mo. He brought this little Korg synth keyboard to church, and I naturally kind of thought of it as a bit of a joke when I first saw it. I thought, what's Mo doing with this keyboard, you know? But then when I heard the sound, it's like, whoa. And so that, yeah, I got to remember, yeah, I play bass and I play the keyboard, and I've gotten comfortable enough that I can actually find the key. It's weird. I'm kind of ADHD, I guess, when I'm playing the bass for this band, because he changes keys, you know, and so do I in other situations. But I guess, you know, to be honest, I can't say I study your songs. I more experience them when we practice and then when we play live. And so it's kind of an echo of that time on stage at church where unprepared, no problem, you know. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of a song, I'll forget what key I was in because I'm busy doing this. And then where was that at? But I'll find it quick enough that. And he made the comment too that he's not worried because if I do make a mistake, I'm right back on.
Right.
And that's a wonderful place to be, you know. It's I kind of liken it to when you're learning another language and you get to the point where you may not know all the big words, but you know enough small words that you'll explain it and succeed. Mm.
Where is the toilet?
¿Dónde está el baño?
So tell me about what is your band. Yeah. And then you have Mo's band. So what's your band? What's
it's the
sound?
Garland Pool.
Okay.
And,
you're playing here.
Playing tomorrow night downstairs.
Okay.
2 hours.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's him in the park.
He's a handsome son of a bitch. Look at him.
Very nice coat.
I know, that's like
a scarf.
I feel like I'm trying to place you. You look like movie star-wise.
Right on.
Who does that look like?
He looks like Littlefinger.
Like, right on.
A little bit.
I was putting a Littlefinger... Yeah. Picture on everything
That's
he posted
right.
for a while. I think he got tired of that.
I didn't even know who Littlefinger was until you started.
Oh, he's a conniving bastard.
I know now. I've seen the whole series 3 or 4 times, but yeah.
Oh, so right, how do you feel about? Oh, sorry, Nick. Dude, yeah, dude, well done. Oh,
yeah.
Forget this, man. I'm out. Okay,
just take it
so
over.
So
how do you,
Mister? I'm gonna fucking watch the draft. And do
it's nice that you can run this podcast and scroll on your phone at
right?
the same time.
I feel no. So like, what is your sound good. For your personal project, and then?
Yeah, I would say my sound is a blend of folk and hard rock.
Okay.
I like to. The last time I did really the only big show I've had, I did at Barnstormers, and I took a play. Or a page out of the playbook of Matt Hill, because I was playing lead guitar for him, and his sound was to have a cello, maybe a violin, or an upright bass mm-hmm. with the cello, and also he had me on electric guitar. Well, he didn't let me get too crazy, you know, because he kind of wanted that folky sound. I was always pushing the envelope as far as the wildness, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I think he appreciated that to an extent, not, you know, over the top, but anyways, so for my sound, I really have, I'd like to think of it as a unique blend of kind of mellow moments and really intense moments, so a blend of folk and hard rock, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
And is it just you, or is it like full bands?
Well, as far as in the studio, I'm doing everything myself, but I'm trying to get out more.
Okay.
You know, being a dad, and I'm a teacher, and I've been kind of a hermit, really, and I'm really trying to change that at this stage in my life. I don't feel like I should know every musician. You could name tons of musicians, and you'd be shocked that I don't know them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope to network more and...
Nice.
Air quotes, network.
He did it. All right. What'd you say? Is the camera off on that one, bud?
That one's probably dead.
It's all right. We still got this main one, buddy. We're getting close to the end here, guys. You inspired me to ask a question. I'm going to ask it to both of you. So when he's done, you answer, Mo. You can play a show with any band, artist, living or dead, who you have not previously played with. Who's it going to be?
Hmm. Well, that's a tough question because you have to consider who you would blend with. You know, I mean, I would love to interact with Jimi Hendrix.
Okay.
But he's such a show in himself. What would I do? You know, I'd have to play the bass or something because he is just
right.
incredible, you know. But I also appreciate many different styles. I'd have to think, give that a lot of thought because...
Well, we don't have that much time. You got to pick one.
I know. Let's see.
You can always change your mind later. Jeez. And write in the comments on YouTube. You know, that'll be fine.
Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Ozzy with Randy Rhodes, I don't know.
We got four answers. I love it. Mo.
So that means I don't have to answer, right?
Nope, you got to answer.
So you said that I haven't played with before, but I got to go with Jesse. I would have to play with Jesse again. He just made everything so fun. And
so
that's what... Yeah.
Every time I drive to Grants Pass, coming and going, you know the spot, I do one of these, and I point it out. And, he asked me, he's like, why do you do that every time, Dad? And I told him, what happened in the story. And that is quite possibly, no, it is. That's the best answer I've heard to that question of every single guest we've had on. Because it's personal and it hits deep. But, leave it at that.
Dude, anybody that knew that guy, he was such a good guy.
Yeah, now you got me wanting to change my answer because I shared about the Garland pool, and where I got the name for that band is my original bass player was Harold Garland, and oddly enough, he died of cancer just 6 months before my wife did.
Right.
And so, while Jimi Hendrix and, Jimmy Page and John Bonham and all those guys would be cool, but I have no real connection to those guys.
Right.
And so if I could have him back and play with him, that would be more personally.
But have you played with him before?
Oh, yeah.
I said, and I also said you couldn't, you've already played
around
with.
That.
Yeah, there's fair enough. I tried to skirt around it, but that's all right, man. That's still the best answer ever. And
I also want to add that while I was listening to Mo give his input a few moments ago, I happened to cross my mind that that a lot of music comes out of crisis, because he was, I think it's safe to say, the birth of a lot of these songs were at a moment in your life when...
Worst times of my life are where half of these songs came from, yeah.
Yeah, and for a while there, nobody seemed to know where Mo was,
I disappeared.
Mr. Hiatus, and the fact that you texted me one time at church had everybody, what? He texted you back? And I felt kind of special about that, that he actually fired back, and I got to talk to him a little bit. But still, he was kind of ghosting everybody.
I saw you would still, I wouldn't say frequently, but... You would comment on Facebook posts throughout that entire time, here and there. So I got to see a little bit of you, or at least see him there. So he didn't fully disappear.
And so an interesting common denominator here is that what kind of kicked me in the pants, I've been writing music and recording music for a long time, but what really kind of slapped me awake to get more serious was losing my wife. And the first album that I put out on Spotify was Love Like Mary. And so out of crisis, we come alive, and it's got to be different for me from here on out. And while I'm a middle school teacher right now, and I just watch my kids exit successfully,
flew the coop.
I feel like I'm in a position to go after my passion more ferociously than in my past, because being a dad, you're kind of locked down. You can't just, it'd be really hard to live that life and everything that comes with it and hold down the fort,
I know. I struggle with that every day.
Yeah. So I think, I think that the word dad or father is almost synonymous with some degree of sacrifice. And oftentimes I don't think dads get enough credit for, even if they're jerks, for what they do, holding down the fort and putting up with all of what goes on to be a dad. And I'd like to just thank you for putting together this way of honoring dads, in some way, and just investigating what it is to be a dad.
Quite possibly one of the best compliments we've had on the show. Yeah,
thanks,
you.
Man. Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. And that's literally... That wasn't why we started this podcast. It was there. It was one of the many reasons that we came up with in the very beginning, but it has evolved into that. almost being the synonymous reason for us doing the show, to get all dads in all walks of life, whether you are in a band called Two Piece Face and we know you locally, yeah, to some crazy A-list movie star who turns out to be totally cool and just as down to earth as all of us didn't expect him to be, and getting everyone's different views on what dad is, and it, they all seem to converge into that exact point. And you know, if we can help out, man, and we are, have been helping out, you know, that's then it's all worth it.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
I know my dad has said that he's proud of me most of my life. And I honestly, I can say I've taken that for granted 85% of the time.
Once you get older, though.
Yeah. And so now, being able to be on stage with fans and songs and having my son playing the drums behind me, like, that's like top shelf proud dad moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, those people are cheering for him way more than they're cheering for me. and I know that. And I'm totally on board with it. But when you asked him that question earlier, he was talking about, you know, I'm doing this, but I've got my future, which my brain hears, Dad, you're a stepping stone, and I'm going to do something out here.
Right?
Which, honestly, fine. I'm completely fine with that. And I want to enjoy this time that I have with him doing this project. And with Fred, too, because Fred and I have been in the trenches playing different instruments, different scenarios for just as much. I've played it with him as much as the dry season guys.
Wow.
Nice.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, that was a shocking revelation when you shared that. I was stunned a little bit to realize how much time we had spent playing music together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Final question, gentlemen. I'm going to ask Mo first. This is, I like to say, the most important question I ask on this show. In my opinion, it is. So here we go. Unless you have something else, Nick, you want to add beforehand.
I have a lot more, but...
Well, we could do another episode another time.
We're going to do part
two. Okay. Mo.
Yeah, I think we could talk for another hour for sure.
Oh, if yeah. You could impart any wisdom or advice on any new father or soon-to-be dad, what is it going to be?
Oh, you should have had Fred do this first.
I know. I wanted yours first, though.
I don't know. We've all got different backgrounds and different situations and different stuff.
That's no excuses. And what is your advice?
My advice? Love them the best you can and shield them from as much of the world's garbage as you can.
That's as good an answer as I've ever heard, man.
They're not going to appreciate it until they appreciate it.
Right, exactly.
And you can't have that as an expectation.
Easy. That was... Like I said, awesome. Yeah. One of the most profound answers ever, and there's no wrong
answer.
We're
getting a lot of those on this episode for some
That's
reason.
The point.
Exactly.
I told this wasn't what you were expecting, I know.
No, it's not.
I know so much.
The coolest thing for me is that I've learned so much about being a dad. Like, I thought I had it down, 7 kids. No. Dude, there's like so many different perspectives and so much that everybody else is like, dude, do this, try this, and that's the coolest thing.
Don't ever do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Before Fred answers that question, I'm giving you plenty of time to ponder and think this one.
I appreciate that.
What did you expect this show to turn out to be before we sat down?
Honestly, I don't know. I've been out of this kind of stuff for so long. I listen to Joe Rogan occasionally, but like as far as podcasts and stuff, it's not something I really gravitate towards. But this has actually been really cool and really fun. So
sweet.
It helps that I know you guys.
Right.
I think yeah. I'd be a lot more anxious if I didn't. But,
yeah.
You know.
Good.
You can obviously tell Mason's getting his great personality partially from me. Sorry, buddy. Did you want to say anything else?
Talk about drums. I say we do part three with just Mason.
Right.
If I could jam with any band or member, probably be Tommy Vex. Lots of his... bands and projects are a lot of similar to the style that I like to play. So
there you go, man. That's a great answer. Love that. Fred Poole, the conch is yours. The final question. What is one piece of advice you would give to any new father or soon to be father?
Mm-hmm. Buy my guitar book. Amazon.
Let's see. I think what Mo said about loving them best you can. And that's a pretty ambiguous thing because it looks different for each person, but that's fine, you know. I think you know in your heart from moment to moment whether you're dishing out love or something else, you know.
Yep.
And as far as interacting with your kid, because the question is, you know, advice to a father, and this is just my personal approach, And it comes from experience, you know. I'm just thinking about the little things that go on with your kids, like trying to get them to clean their room. I have a quick story about that because I think it sounds kind of nerdy to use this term, but I'm a big fan of intrinsic motivation, which means the motivation comes from within them. And my dad, I wouldn't say instilled intrinsic motivation in me. I just naturally had it. But from my dad, I got a lot of extrinsic, like, do it this way or else, you know.
Right.
And that was fine. That was his style. But my personal style and the way I interact with my kids, for example, I was in charge of getting them to clean their room. And I got tired of coming upstairs and hearing them suddenly trying to clean because they had gotten distracted, you know. And I'm a, you know, busy guy, and I'd go back down to my studio trying to record or something, and then I'd come back, and I got to the point where I was, like, taking a picture of the room and going, I bet you didn't put anything away, you know, and I'd threaten, and I'm going to take all your toys and put them in a garbage bag if you don't have it cleaned up. Whatever's left out, you know.
Right.
And after a while, I just felt like the bad guy coming up the stairs, you know.
Yeah.
And it all changed for me when I finally just decided, you know, I got down and started helping them. Like, I just started doing it with them. And all of a sudden, we would get distracted sometimes and play, you know. And I have two girls, so it wasn't the most fun to play Polly Pocket.
There's nothing wrong with tea time, my friend. Nothing wrong at all.
But your imagination is engaged, yeah. and they saw how I played, and, yeah. and we got a connection that way. They saw my imagination, and I affected them. Just like with my dad, there were moments where I was, like, sketching something, and he's like, let me see it, you know. And he added something, and then we kept adding to it, and there was a connection, you know. And I, from then on, I felt like I could be an artist, you know, because right. he's got the natural ability, and I see that. Just like over here, you can't deny that Mason watching you play from way down small all the way up to now has influenced the whole journey, you know. And so anyways, for me, that would be my advice, is rather than behaving in such a way that they feel like, oh, you know, dad's going to get mad if I don't do this, just engage, you know, and partner with them, you know. And that's what's cool about them. It's actually, I have to say, an honor to watch him cut his teeth as a drummer playing live with his dad. You know, I enjoy that just as much in some way as if it were my own kid. You know, I see it. It's awesome.
Love that. That's awesome, love yeah. it. Now, see, in the case of my son, just to add to your point, the intrinsic way, I tried doing the dishes with him, and it still doesn't work. So we got worked out. Boy, I'm just that playing face. Around with you. I'm just playing around. I love you. Man, you have no idea how much I love your face. All right, you guys, man, he is Fred Poole. He is Mo and Mason Provolt. They are friends, and they are a member of the band Two Piece Face. Thank you guys for coming on the show, man. We appreciate it. Let's do it again.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You're very welcome, man. Thank you. And to everyone listening, wherever you may be listening and however you may be watching worldwide, thank you so much for your support. As always, we appreciate you. We love you. On the social media, do all the things. Like, up, subscribe, comment, send him death threats, and we'll catch you on the very next episode of Dadcast. You'll have a great rest of your whatever.
And check out our brother podcast, Rockstar Dad Show, with Jarrett and Gary from Bowling for Soup.
What he said.
That's right.
Bowling for Soup. Bowling. Rockstar Dad
Podcast.
Rockstar Dad Podcast.
Yeah.
I love those guys.
How do we get on their podcast?
I'll hit them.
We'll make a call.
I'll text them, yeah.
We'll make a call. We don't have to all do it with Zoom.
A super cool dude.
So and hey, do you have any interest in being on the Father's Day episode?
Oh yeah,
it's coming up here in like 2 weeks. We record a Father's Day episode. It's via Zoom, so we don't have to. You know, you can literally be in, you know, wearing no pants. And there's going to be a whole bunch of squares.
I'm assuming that was you that texted me.
You got with me this, with the no pants, yeah.
Right, with as many of our previous guests from the year we've had. And there's going to be some pretty big names on that. It's pretty fun to interact with them. Wish everyone happy Father's Day. We record it early, and it drops on Father's Day. If that's something you're interested in, we'd love to have you on.
Sounds amazing.
May 16th, we have that plan, or
May 16th. But by the time this episode airs, that's going to be well past May 16th. So just keep that in mind. Anyway, here we are, blah, 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 blah. Thank you so much. Catch you on the next episode. See you.
Peace.